I was eating junk. I had just had two children back to back.
I used to not be able to get on the ground.
I never, ever daily exercised.
Before, if I'd get down, I'd need a chair or something to help me get back up.
I was 84 pounds heavier at one time.
I was always a big dude, but I couldn't move around.
That all changed when they met Diamond Dallas Page.
I started doing yoga, man. I started doing a thing called DDP yoga. It's not your mama's yoga.
WCW heavyweight champion, known for his signature move, the Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter!
Took what he learned recovering from an injury and years in the ring and created DDP yoga. This time,
it's your time. Working out combined with the eating habits, it was a huge difference. I felt so much better.
It's a lot of fun for me because I never used to be able to be active. Now I'm on the floor, I'm rolling around. It's pretty cool. More than importantly, I just want to be alive. I'm down about 110 pounds.
DDP yoga can work for anyone.
Bang!
DDP.
DDP Radio.
Self-high five.
Hello, my fellow DDP Yoga Warriors. It is Wednesday night, 9 p.m. We are broadcasting from the penthouse suites of the DDP Radio Megaplex right here in beautiful DDP Yogaville. So we've moved our location. It's where the Performance Center is located. Everything is there. My name is Mike Mullins. As always, you can find me over at mikeat90%.com. And per usual, I'm being joined by the one, the only, Stacey Morris from StaceyMorris.com. Check out her blog, check out her recipes, and her brand new book over there. Stacey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Mike, how are you?
Oh, wonderful. Can't complain. Got a little bit of a cold thing going on today, so if I start hacking on the microphone, you know why. It's probably, okay. It'll probably sound better than I usually do, but... And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, he is the one, he is the only, and we can be thankful for that. It's my friend and yours, Robert McLaren. Hello, Robert. Hello.
Did somebody just fall out of their chair? That's what it sounded like.
I'm here.
Oh, I'm doing good, doing good. I've been looking forward to talking to Mr. Arthur here. We haven't done so in quite some time.
Yeah, and we want to get right into this because it has been a while since we've talked to Arthur. And you know Arthur, you know, he downplays his role in this, you know, company to no end. But we are going to see what he's been up to in the last few months. And he's doing things that, like, I can't even picture myself even, like, doing on, like a drawing or, like, a painting. He is the most inspiring person, and he really is. I mean, I think we can both all agree this. If it wasn't for Arthur's story, I don't think DDP Yoga would have connected with as many people as it did, despite, you know, how amazing a program it is. You know, Arthur's the one that got the ball rolling for everything, and I know he's gonna not want to talk about how, you know, influential he was to this program, but it's something that needs to be addressed.
No, absolutely. If it wasn't for the way that video launched everything, we wouldn't be... I think we would have succeeded at one point or another, but it wouldn't happen the way that it did, without a doubt.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm going to bring him on right now, and we're going to get to the upcoming workshops in just a minute, but I want to introduce Arthur real quick. You know him. I don't need to introduce him. You've seen him a million times on a million different platforms of DDP Yoga. He is the one, the only, the incomparable Arthur Borman. Hello, sir.
Hi.
How are you? How are you?
Well, I'm here at school right now. School let out at 2 o'clock. I'm in here, well, actually, school let out at 2:05. I'm in here doing paperwork. And this is the only time I could make where I could actually do this. So,
yeah, and for those who didn't know, yes, Arthur is also a teacher, and he's grading papers while we do this interview.
Yes.
and we need to, it needs to be pointed out, you know, Arthur, you know, has been through a lot and has changed his life significantly, and teaching has always been his job, his passion. But it goes to say that Arthur, before being able to, you know, turn his life around, and he was struggling to walk without canes, you know, you were still putting in incredibly long days as a teacher. Despite all the pain and things you were going through, you still went to work every day and put in more hours than most, you know, doing what you do.
Well, teaching, it's kind of funny. Have you ever heard the thing people say, oh, it must be nice to get off at 2 and have summers off and blah, blah, blah? Oh yeah. That's a you guys have to battle that stereotype. I know it's not really fair.
I was here at 6:10 this morning, and that's normal for me. And I will be here until about 5:30, 5:45 tonight. So that's basically an 11-hour plus day. And I'll be honest, on Wednesdays, I let myself out of here a little bit early because I have to go run some errands. But so I make sure that I do that because you have to get out early at least one day a week. But I get out. Those days I get out at 3 o'clock, 3:30 sometimes. But I end up working, you know, my alleged 37.5 hour week is actually more like 55 hours when you add in everything, plus the work that I take home on the weekends and such. But I love it. I know that sounds masochistic, but I'm doing something worthwhile with my time.
Definitely.
And obviously, you know, as you mentioned, you know, you battle stereotypes constantly. Oh, you have all summer off. You get out at 2 o'clock. But, you know, as I know, you know, from having many friends and teachers, they're the most, you know, underappreciated position almost probably on the planet. But, you know, since you've made these incredible changes in your life, how has it changed your work life, your career? Because obviously, you know, you were struggling with things during the majority of your teaching tenure. How has it made things easier, harder, or, you know, indifferent in your, you know, the way you do your job?
Maybe a better teacher. Let me give you just a little thought. When you can't stand for very long because you're on crutches, you end up sitting down in front of the room, drawing out your math problems or explaining things using a white board or an overhead projector. But when you can walk, you can be up and down those rows of chairs, squatting down, kneeling down beside a student. And, you know, instead of standing up and sort of hovering over them on your crutches, you're down where your eyes, your head, and your heart are at the same level as the kids are, and that allows you just to connect better. And people don't think about it. Teaching is not just about what you know. Because to be really blunt, the kids don't care what you know. They don't. They've got to know that you care about them as a person, or else all that stuff you know really doesn't mean anything. If they don't think that you care, if they think you're just up there showing them a slide or a PowerPoint or how to work a problem, and that you don't care about them as an individual, then everything you do is meaningless. And that's really important.
And that's powerful. Now, you know, obviously your students, you know, You teach some kids that have an uphill battle at times. You know, you deal with a certain sector of kids that, you know, sometimes have dealt with some of the same problems that you have.
I'm a special educator.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, when someone sees like a comeback like that, you know, someone who's down in life and someone who's had some struggles and things to fight back for, and you fight back and you win ultimately. Ultimately, you don't win ever in life. It's never over. But here's somebody who's inspiring and can pass on the knowledge and the inspiration to someone like that. Now, it's been a couple of years since the video, you know, went viral and everything. Are your students familiar with your story? Are you open and upfront?
A lot of them are. That's really unusual for me. But
in a way, you know, having those special education kids, you know, they do face challenges that are often hard, and having someone who's, you know, been in their shoes and faced, you know, battles that, you know, maybe not the same battles they faced, but overcome certain things in your life, you know, you have a more relatable factor than some other teacher who's just, you know, sitting there running his mouth and have never been through what these, you know, kids have been through, so per se.
Well, I think, I'm trying to find a good way to say this. I think a lot of times they look, and the fact that I do have that story gives me an edge because it makes me relatable.
it helps me to, you know, to say things, to, it gives me cred, for want of a better word.
Now, the cool thing about that video and talking about credibility is that we get requests all the time, and I think most people who do this don't request it. Like, well, there was a comment on the video, I think today or yesterday, that said that it was a student who they had showed that video in their sixth grade class. And, you know, I've heard that people have showed it at seminars and pretty much any arena that you can think of, which is very, very cool.
Yeah. The school district where I work at, they used it as a lesson in sort of a guidance-related class. You know, trying to teach kids about motivation, the power of being positively motivated. And then some people are going, hey, was that you in that? Yeah, that was me. That was me. That was kind of strange.
But I think the thing that makes that video, like, connect with people, you know, throughout the time, it's been years now, a few years, but, you know, it's still, you know, people still watch it and get inspired. And I think the thing that connected with people is, you know, you don't have to be Arthur Borman where you're injured so badly and have a lot of weight to gain and have all these, you know, things going on with you. Everyone in this world, whether it's, you know, me sitting here at home on my computer, you know, doing nothing, or the president of the United States, or a famous actor in Hollywood, or a world-famous musician, or anybody has, you know, challenges or things they need to overcome in their life, whether it be physical, emotional, you know, mentally. You know, everybody has something that they need to conquer, and the thing that makes that video so universally, connectable is that. But we may not see the same injuries as you. We may not have seen the same circumstances as you, but we connect with the story of how you needed to overcome something and you didn't accept no and you just moved on and did it, despite how hard it got. And you may have the simplest issue in the world to overcome, but when you see something like that, you know, you think, I can take on the world and, you know, do anything. And it's a universal theme in life, is overcoming obstacles.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's their issue. You know, it's going to sound dumb. You could have someone overcome something, anything, but if it's not your issue, it's just a story. And it could even be the exact same thing. It's just, it's that person's life. And, you know, they can draw inspiration or strength or whatever from it or not. And the human ability to rationalize things away is immense and powerful, and it stops a lot of people from doing something about it. Because here's the thing, it is easy to allow yourself to be the victim of circumstances, to be, you know, powerless to change something, because the minute you accept that you have the ability to change your life, then you become responsible for your life. I mean, this is nothing new to any of us. This is Own Your Life 101.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, there's a negative side to that for some people. I'll be honest, I can't conceive of it anymore. But the simple fact is, if you own your life, then you are responsible for your success or your failure. I mean, part of me owning my life is I just suddenly realized at one point that I'm not a very ambitious person. I like being a classroom teacher. I don't need to be a principal or an administrator or a world-famous whatever. I like being in the classroom. I like working with kids. And I'm very happy doing it. And that's where I want to be, and that's what I want to do, and that's where I want to stay. But at the same time, I have to accept that that means, you know, I got to grade tons of paperwork, and I got to stay up late at night knocking out the stuff. I got to write my parents, you know, my students' parents every week, and I got to do all this stuff. And I have to accept the responsibility for that. And here's, you know, a lot of times people are going to say, well, you know, it's all well and good, but, you know, there could be this or there could be that, or this situation is different, that situation is different. And at the end run, all situations are different, but all situations are the same in that when you take ownership of it,
you take responsibility for it. When you accept that you have the power to change, then you accept responsibility for that change or for not changing. But you give up the ability to blame it on someone else and say, oh, that's not my fault, that's this other thing that happened. No, it's not. You know, when I accept the responsibility for my life and say, okay, I'm going to make this decision, I made the decision to stay here in a classroom and to do this, then I accept the fact that I'm going to be underpaid. I accept the fact that I'm going to work long hours. I accept the fact that, you know, I'm going to have to put up with all these different issues that are related to the job. Likewise, when I accepted the fact that I was responsible for my health and for my life, I accepted that I am responsible for making that effort. I am responsible for getting up extra early in the morning for that first workout. I'm responsible for eating healthy and making good food choices. I'm responsible no matter how tired or how beat I am. It is no one's fault other than mine if I don't get that second workout in before I go to bed. I'm the one who's... Wait for the bell. I am the one who's responsible for all that. It is
well,
my...
That's exactly what I wanted to touch on with you, Arthur, because your video and your story in general is so dramatic, and it reads like a movie. But the end of the video is that's not the end of the road for you. And you, like everybody who's human, you must have up days and down days, and you've been at this quite a while. And you're talking right now about daily maintenance, but what do you do? How do you handle emotional gravity? And days when you don't want to eat clean and you don't want to work out?
I depend on the force of sheer habit. I depend on my consistency. You know what? This morning, I'll tell you right now, this morning, who wants to get up at 4 a.m. and work out?
Not me. Guaranteeing
that. You have to be insane. So I get up, and I'll be honest, I'm in robot mode. Mm-hmm. I get up, I turn off my alarm clock, and I throw on my sweats, and I go downstairs. You know what? My mat is where I don't even have to think about it. The DVD is already loaded. All I got to do is throw that thing out, hit the on switch, and then, you know, get into pinfall and wait for the video to start. And I just go along with the video, and I'm not thinking. I am not thinking. I'm just going along with the video.
That's key. That might sound weird, but that's key, is you can't argue with excuses. You can't give them the luxury of being heard, because what they try to do is take you down.
Yeah, you'll talk yourself out of it.
Well, like I said, I don't let myself get talked out of it, for one thing. But the other thing is, and this is important, you said they. Everybody has they or them or whoever who you're fine, you can skip a day. Or, you know, that's one side of it. You're doing great, look how good you're doing, you can afford to skip a day. No, you can't, because you skip one day and it turns into two. And it turns into a week, and it turns into a month.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The other side of it is, there are some people, and it's like, oh, my cousin did that. You know what? He gained back all that weight.
Yeah.
Or, oh, well, that's so nice. But you know what? It's not going to last.
Yeah. How long have you kept the weight off now, Arthur?
Well, I've had, like I said, like everybody else, I've had good days and bad days. But I've been going for, what is it now, 7, 8 years? 9 years?
Yeah.
No. 9? Is that right?
I think it's close. It's
wow.
Got to be around. It's at least 7 or 8. At least.
At least 7 or 8 years. It's up there, but I can't afford to think about it that way. I can't.
No, definitely. That the only reason I brought that up is because it shows that you can do it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I did it today.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters.
Absolutely. And I look at it as, like you said, maintenance, because it's like you brush your teeth today. That mm-hmm. has nothing to do with tomorrow.
Exactly. Tomorrow is another battle. And that's the thing. Today I'm winning this battle. You know, when I go to bed tonight, I'll have won. You know, when I get up in the morning, it starts all over again. And that's the thing. It's one day. It's one day. It's one day.
And anyone can work out when they want to work out. You know, when they're excited to work out, anyone can work out. You know, that's easy. But when you don't want to work out and when you don't feel like it, when you're pulling yourself out of bed at 4 in the morning, but you do it, that's where progress happens and that's where winning happens.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, one thing I found that really is very helpful to me is if I have a really draining, emotionally fired up, beat the hell out of me day, I tend to come home angry. I'm angry sometimes at circumstances, sometimes at particular individuals for whatever reason. But I will take out whatever workout I had planned, and I'll throw in that double black diamond. And I won't just do it. I will fight it. I will grunt and sweat and yell and...
It really is a healthy release.
And push. And, yeah, it's very cathartic.
Yeah, you're going to own that damn workout.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that workout is one of the longer ones, and it's a great way to lose yourself in a healthy way. By the time you're done with that, you don't remember.
And, yeah, I wouldn't say you don't remember. I still remember, but I've burned off so much energy that I can kind of back away from whatever's bugging me, and that's a good way to do it. I mean, that's you've turned a negative into a positive. You've turned a negative into a positive, and that's really what it's all about for us, turning negatives into positive.
So we want listeners to know that if Arthur Boorman, you know, has to put himself on autopilot and use tricks to combat resistance, resistance is a human condition. You know, so don't feel bad about it. You don't have to let it get the best of you. There are ways to outsmart it.
Something Arthur had touched upon earlier, which I kind of wanted to bring this back to because it's an amazing point that we kind of, you know, didn't take a lot of time to go into. But, you know, Arthur talked about, you know, when I mentioned to him, I said, you've inspired so many people and you've made people, you know, stand up and do something. And he said, you know, I have no ability to make you do anything. And I think in life in general, so many of us, especially of us, you know, who have had trouble with, you know, had our health and eating and stuff, look for that Superman to come in and save us and make everything okay. And I think Dallas gets a lot of that too. People feel like Dallas Page is going to save my life. He's going to come in and make everything okay. Well, quite frankly, Dallas has no ability to change your life. He has none. He has the ability to give the tools to you to allow you to make the choices and put the effort in to change your life. But so many people look for that magic, just Superman. He's going to rush in and save me and make everything in my life okay, when really Arthur, Dallas, me, none of us have the ability to do that.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
I hate to ask this, but forgive me, I'm about to nerd on you.
Okay.
Has anyone seen The Dark Knight Rises?
I have.
Yes.
Okay. Superman's a jerk.
Pretty much.
Because, he's not in the movie at all, is he?
Nope.
Because if he was in the movie, then all the bad stuff that happened to Batman wouldn't have happened. See what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
Because Metropolis and Gotham aren't that far apart. Yet, there's Batman with his back broken, getting beat up by the bad guys, and everything else is happening, and he gets sent off to wherever in the Far East to get stuck down in the bottom of that pit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, while they've got a bomb ready to blow up Gotham City. where is Superman to zoom in there and and get the bomb and to do all the Superman stuff? He's not. And to be honest, if he was, then Batman's not much of a hero, is he? So my point is, the only reason Batman's a hero is because Superman's not real. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, because he's not there to save the day. So
there it is. Dallas is a great guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a wonderful man. He's given an incredible thing to the world. He's given an incredible thing to me. But I'm the one who had to do it.
Yeah.
And everyone out there has to do it. So it's just like, it's not like, okay, you bought the disc and everything is going to happen. You got to put in the freaking work. I did. You did. Stacy did. Everybody, Jared, have you seen that video? Oh, my goodness.
Hell yes.
Jared, if you're out there, massive respect, brother.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to get him on the show here soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what I was going to say before ties directly into that. I get emails almost every day. Can Dallas help me like he helped Arthur? And my response is pretty much always the same thing, is that Dallas didn't help Arthur. Arthur helped Arthur. Dallas provided some help and guidance. You did the work.
And as soon as you accept that mentality, it automatically takes the burden off your hand and the ability off your hand, and you're constantly waiting for that intervention into your life of someone, you know. You become Dallas dependent. Yeah.
Wow.
It absolves you of all responsibility in your own health.
The Dallas Dependency Syndrome, DDS. I like that.
And I've been around Dallas when people have been like, hey, I need you to help me. I need you to email me every day and check up on me and all this stuff. And that's not going to how it's going to work. You know, Dallas is in amazing shape, but, you know, he's 60 years old. He's not going to be here forever. You know, you can't depend on Dallas every day to make your life easier by, you know, you're checking up on you and babysitting you. And honestly, he doesn't have the time to do that. And it totally absolves you of any responsibility of actually checking yourself. And you need to learn to do that if you're going to have any sustained, progress in this program.
Yeah, I mean, he, like Arthur and you guys are saying, he's a great shot in the arm. And nobody does it alone. We all need support. But every success story in DDP yoga, the common denominator is you have a person who is willing, ready, and able to do the work, put some discipline in their lives, make some sacrifices, and gradually change habits. And that's what Arthur was talking about. Sometimes it's sheer force of a good habit that's been really strengthened and memorized, and it becomes second nature, that can often be your best defense in life for keeping it, for maintaining.
Well, the power of routine is huge, and it can work for you or against you. I mean, it's Newtonian. An object at rest remains at rest. An object in motion remains in motion at the same speed and in the same direction unless acted upon by an outside force. You know, sorry to get technical on you, but there it is. If you've got a good habit, if you're in the habit of getting up at o'dark early in the morning, you know, stumbling downstairs and knocking out energy or fat burner or whatever, that's what you're going to do. Even when you feel like crap, that's what you're going to do. You may not do it perfectly, but you're going to do it. And you're going to keep on doing it. And if you're in the habit of eating that healthy meal for breakfast, if you're in the habit of having that healthy lunch, if you're in the habit of skipping that unhealthy snack, you're going to stay in that habit. But here's the flip side of it. If you're in the habit of making all the wrong decisions, then you got to have that outside force to act on you. And sometimes that outside force is the sudden realization that if you don't fix yourself, you're going to die. Sometimes it's the emotional realization that you just can't go on living that way and you have to change. Mm-hmm. But there has to be that significant event, one way or the other. And the significant event can be an emotional gravity that knocks you on your butt and knocks you out of your force of habit and makes you make wrong choices, or it can be the one that makes you stop and evaluate what you've been doing wrong and forces you to make right choices again. It's up to you. It's up to all of us.
And I pride myself on trying to be a thinker. And as a teacher, you probably encourage your kids to think and think outside the box and analyze situations. But sometimes the best thing in your life is just to go on autopilot. Sometimes overthinking things can make you, because I know for a fact myself, I can if I wanted to, I could justify anything to myself if I wanted to strong enough. And I could talk myself out of things, and the more I think, the more reasons I come up with why I don't need to do this or why I need to do that. And, thinking is great, and it's important in this world, but sometimes the act of not thinking and just going on autopilot, not giving your time to talk yourself out of doing something can lead to success, too. There are certain times when you need to think, and there's certain times where you just need to act.
Exactly. And that's really important.
And I think anybody, when Dallas talks about in his things, especially with eating, he always says, if you're going to change your eating lifestyle or go gluten-free or something or whatever he's going to say, he says, give it 2 weeks or give it this many days, because it gives it time to form a habit. And, we can't get into anything significant like that until we form our habits for ourselves and get into the mode. And, I see a lot of people drop off when they stop getting into the routine, and then it becomes more normal to, and then more accepted, and you're able to, convince yourself that, okay, I can skip another day, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But,
there's a flip side of that that's really important at this time of year, because a lot of people right now, and I have a big advantage on most people when it comes to this, is because I still have my teacher badge, which shows me as this gigantic bloated protozoa of a human. And, I sit there and say, I'm not going to do that again, guys, so I'm not eating that. And people go, okay, that's fine. That's fine. But there's a night school class next door. Anyway, I can do that. And I can tell people, look, I had to drop all this weight, and I'm not, But when you're in that process, sometimes you're just in that weird place where you can't, and you look around, and sometimes there are no good choices left, and you can't excuse yourself. So, you make the best choice you can. But here's the flip side of that. From Thanksgiving through New Year's, we're in this weird perpetual party for all this food is out there. Every time I go into the teacher's lounge, there's cookies or there's stuff there that I can't eat, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But even now, it's still a temptation. I'm not going to do it. But anyway, this is the time when it's most important to keep that workout schedule going.
Oh, more than ever.
If you do anything, you are going to have that workout schedule still going. And in January, when everything starts rolling back to normal, you won't be starting off stiff and, oh, I got to drop it back a couple of days, and, oh, I think I better skip it today because I'm sore because I didn't work out for the last 3 weeks. And no, this is the time when it's really, really important to keep that workout going, even if you're just throwing energy in, even if you're just, doing something really light, even if you're just doing, a really easy workout, it's really important to keep that routine up now, because that way, when everything returns, quote unquote, to normal, you will still have your routine in place. And your body, if you did make any unfortunate choices, and to be honest, there are people who are going to. If you did make any unfortunate choices, your metabolism will still be racked up high, and you'll be burning it off. So it's really important now to keep that schedule going. I hope that makes sense to you guys. I think it's very, very important.
And Stacey,
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
Stacey,
go ahead,
I know people who have, like, you know, been staples in this program and have stuck around a long, long time. People like Stacey and people like Arthur. I know that some people, like, who are newer in the community, as I felt almost when I first started, think of you guys as almost invincible. Like, you've been here so long that it's just easy for you, and it became nothing for you. It's just like it's something you do now, and you don't struggle at all. And sometimes, you know, with the elders of this program, people, you know, look at that like that, like, oh, they got it easy now. But Arthur, as you can tell, you know, you obviously had an issue with food. Stacey had an issue with food. I know for a fact that no matter how well I'll ever do in my life, I'll walk across a plate of brownies and I'm going to just instinctively wish I could dive into them face first. It doesn't go away. The issues you have don't go away, and that's what I try to tell people. You just find different ways to combat them and circumvent around them because, you know, Arthur, I'm sure you can tell me right now that there are days where you just wish you could dive face first into something, but you know for your life that doesn't work into it anymore. Talk about the struggles you have that you still have and you deal with, and how do you work your way around those struggles when they come up?
Okay. Let me break that into a couple of parts. And definitely, yes, there are struggles. Definitely, yes, there are struggles. And I will tell you that for me, one of the big ones is just frustration. And, you know, you get really frustrated, and it's like, I'm doing all this stuff. Why can't I have that one thing? And you look, and it's something really insanely, stupidly simple, like a soft serve ice cream or something. And it's like, I'm doing all this stuff, and I can't have that. That makes no sense at all. I should be able to have one this or one that. It's like an alcoholic saying, I should be able to have one drink, which is a metaphor I use a lot with myself. You see, and I know I've said this to you guys before, that we are worse off than alcoholics because you can simply quit drinking, but you can't stop eating. So we have that problem that we have to balance. And it is, you know, it is very difficult. Now, how do I get around it? I use every cheap trick in the book. You know what? I took a picture of myself. This is one that I really recommend people do. I went and I found some of my worst pictures. And I printed them up and I got some clear contact paper. And I laminated them to the door of my refrigerator. Just little ones. I mean, you know, 1 by 2 inch, small. And I just put them on the door of my refrigerator, my freezer, some of the cabinets where food is kept. And it's got little letters underneath, and it spells out, is it worth it? That way, when I'm sitting here thinking, man, I really want, and I look up there to open the door, it's like, oh.
Mm-hmm. Stops in your tracks.
It does. Because it's a simple truth. You know,
and sometimes those
me,
little...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Arthur.
I missed what you said.
I said go ahead. There was nothing important.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, you know, I use all those little tricks. I use the force of routine. I still maintain a food journal. I still maintain a workout journal.
And I think that still caring and still taking the time to do that, you know, the workout journal and taking the, you know, the tricks and stuff like that keeps you, I mean, as soon as you stop doing the things that got you to where you wanted to be, as soon as those start dropping off and just becomes more routine, you know, it allows more error to come in. It allows more... you know, distance between what got you there. And sometimes that's how people slide off. I know that's happened to me before. You know, as soon as I'm like, oh, I got this. I don't need to track my food anymore. It's yada, yada, yada. And, you know, that's when, you know, things start slipping a little bit and then a little becomes a little more. And as long as you keep yourself on par with the things that got you to where you want to be, you know, it keeps you honest in a way.
Yeah. And can I give you a cheap trick that works?
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to be a little different for everybody, but I keep a dollars and cents track of how much money I don't spend on food.
How do you do
okay.
that?
well, I'm not buying that pizza. That's, see, how much is that in the newspaper? That was $8.99. So that's $9. I'm not having those fries. That's $2. And I just kind of keep track of it. And I add it up, and I, you know, I buy myself stuff every now and then. I reward myself.
Oh, that's brilliant. And you know, Arthur, you raised a great point. People are always quick to say, oh, healthy eating is so expensive. But guess what? Unhealthy eating is more expensive, way more.
Yeah, because you end up in the doctors all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, you end up in the hospital.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to make a point about what you said a minute ago, Arthur, about doing things to, temporary versus permanent.
Yeah.
That's why we always say that diets don't work. It's because you're doing something temporary, and as soon as that diet, that phase is over, you go back to doing the things that you were doing before that never worked.
Yeah. It's very important that you do something, you know, that you're it's very important that you think long-term with this.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important that you think long-term with this, and that you think, and I don't just mean till the summer or till graduation or till, you know, some lady thinking about getting into that wedding dress or whatever. It's life. It is life. For the rest of my life, I am going to be following this eating plan. So I, you know, recently, okay, I'm going to get stupid here and just tell you guys the truth. Recently, I went out and I saw this, quote-unquote, action figure. It was glorious. It was 12 inches tall. It glowed in the dark. And I wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been looking, and I've been working out hard. I've been pushing myself uber hard lately. And I thought to myself, you know what? I deserve that. I deserve to be nice to me. I bought it. Happy birthday to me. You know, well, actually it wasn't birthday, but, you know, you have to, you know, the things that we used to do with food, we still need to do, but we just can't do them with food. It's like, you know, I had a rough day, so I'm going to stop and buy an ice cream on the way home.
Mm.
Well, I had a rough day, so I'm going to pick up the new iZombie trade paperback. I mean, that's me. I'm a nerd. You know, I do the kind of stuff.
And you know what I did, Arthur? Actually, what? Just today, I treated myself to a Chanel coffee mug.
Awesome.
And I am going to just love drinking hot tea or coffee out of that mug.
But you know, the rewards we...
Go ahead. The rewards
we
give our... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the rewards we give ourselves, you know, we always would, reward ourselves with food. I'm going to have this piece of cake because I was good today. Well, that's like, you know, counterintuitive to what you're trying to do. And those healthy rewards being replaced by, like, a reward, like, I'm going to get myself that coffee cup. You know what? 7 years from now, that coffee cup's still going to be there. Will you remember that piece of cake you had 7 years from now? It's a little bit of a, you know, different kind of mentality
yeah.
if you think about it. You know, I rewarded myself with something that's going to last instead of something that I'm going to regret in 5 minutes and something that's going to be gone in 1 minute, knowing me.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, not only is it sitting up there on your shelf or wherever where you can see it and look at it and it gives you pleasure because it's there, it's also a reminder of your success. It's a trophy. It's like a battle ribbon in the war of self-control.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's something to look back upon too. And you know, everything you have pretty much has a story. You know, where you got it, where you know, I got this with my girlfriend, I got this with my wife, I got this with my brother. And when you look at that, you know, that coffee mug, Stacey, you're gonna think, you know, I earned that. You know, it's something I was proud of myself for. I rewarded mm-hmm. myself for taking care of myself, and it's always, you know, it may not automatically come up, but it's a reminder that, you know, I did something, and to earn this, it's a trophy.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's that intangible reward that we all, you know, we get to live with 24 hours a day, and that's feeling better, you know, and that, you know, the food lasts a few seconds on our tongue, And I do understand, you know, the process of emotional eating, and sometimes there's just such a need for that, you know, when you're going through so much crap. But if you can untangle from it, and it takes time, you get this continual reward, which is, you know, feeling better, looking better, having more energy, and that doesn't go away. You know, you have to maintain it, but it's permanent. It can be permanent. And it is so much more enjoyable than the temporary, you know, it's like a firecracker. You know, food is like a, you know, burns bright and it's intense and exciting, but then it's gone. So would you rather have a firecracker or a nice steady candle?
Yeah. Here's a thought for you as well, and this is important. People need to learn to listen to their body. When you eat really, really well for a long time, and you fall off, if you eat something bad, your body lets you know. Your body will tell you, dude, what did you put in there? And it's bad, but it's important to listen to the body in that respect.
Stacey, you talked about the instant. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike. Go.
I was gonna say, you talked about the instant, you know, the it's on your tongue and then it's gone. You know, I had someone once tell me that, and that really made sense to me, and I think it would, you know, work for some people. The only bites that matter when you're eating something is the first bite and the last bite. Those are the only two bites that really matter. It's the first bite that you taste it and the last bite, which is gonna stay with you. Everything in between is pretty matter, and it's gone instantly. You know, 5 bites or 2 bites, are you going to remember the 3 bites in between, like an hour from now? It's pretty much just like it's filler, and it's so instantly gone and quickly forgettable. And it, you actually wonder, you know, years from now, it's like, was that even worth it, you know?
Oh, yeah. And what Arthur was saying about your body will tell you, that's another benefit of when you change your habits. You know, I lived for years on nothing but really junk food, and I got used to it. And my body wasn't giving me any real messages because that's all it knew. But when I took a step back from it and started cleaning up some of my choices and got rid of gluten and processed foods and all that, you know, bad stuff that was weighing me down, literally, then I started to be able to tell the difference. My body had some context. You know, and it could, and when I would put like dairy back into it, I really felt it, you know, but you have to give yourself that opportunity to cleanse and separate from it in a way, and then you will know the difference.
Yeah. Now there's, and, you know, when we look at that, that's really important because we, you know, we're learning to listen to our bodies, not just with the heart monitor, but listening and tracking what goes on. If you do this long enough, you'll actually start feeling, okay, that's my iliopsoas. That's my IT band I'm feeling stretched. That's my adductor. You'll start being able to identify specific muscles and, you know, that you're working. That's my, you know, those are my deep core stabilizers. That's this, that's that. You'll feel your deltoid. You'll be able to feel, you know, what's going on in your rhomboid. You'll be able to feel these different muscles. Believe me, if you learn to do a 10-second push-up right, by the time you're on your third or fourth one, you're going to be able to tell whether it's your rhomboid or your serratus that's giving you grief. And it's really important that we learn to listen to our bodies. And I'm not just saying learn all the anatomical terms, but just learn which feels, which things feel which way, and what is good and what is not. And that is so key to our making progress.
Absolutely.
I could talk to Arthur all night, and he has such a wealth of information. And we it's been a while since we've gotten back to him, but you know, Arthur has this way, and I think it's being a teacher. You know, a lot of it, and also, you know, you're a big, you know, storyteller. You know, you read a lot of books. You're into a lot of movies. You have a way of putting things that are in a relatable way to so many people, and actually, you know, taking thoughts and ideas and communicating them in a way that, you know, relates to a lot of people. And it's been too long since we've had you on, and we need to have you on. But I know you're crazy busy, but you're always welcome here. We'd love to have you on whenever you'd like to get on.
Yeah,
but
and
I
we
think
know
we're out of time.
Arthur's one quick thing. Arthur is super busy, and he swears by energy and fat burner. Don't underestimate those two workouts. If you're busy, pop it in, get a good workout in, and then get on with your day.
I tell you what, when life gets crazy, those are awesome. And the other thing I love about energy, this is going to sound weird, but sometimes I'll do energy when I don't need a workout at all. It's like, have you ever been sitting, this probably won't relate to you, but something in your life is going to be similar to this. You're sitting here looking at a lesson plan, or you're looking at a document you have to write, and you have been looking at this thing for so long that the letters are dancing in front of your face, and it's like you're droning, and it just you can't see the mistake. You know there's something wrong, and you're staring at that computer screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go down, and I love energy for this. Another one I love for this is breathing, and I'll throw that in, and I'll do energy or breathing, but I won't just breathing, I'll do it pretty much, just follow it through. But energy, when I'm doing it, I'll just really grunt and sweat with it and really just push it as hard as I can. And, you know, it kind of, what's the word? It's kind of like pushing reset on your brain a little bit. Because then you go back up, you've had a good sweat, you've gotten some fresh, you know, oxygen in the blood, and you can go ahead and look at it with, for want of a better word, a fresh set of eyes. So I think energy is wonderful for that. And like I said, that's not energy for the body. That's energy for the brain. I love Fat Burner. Fat Burner is probably the workout that I do more than any other workout because I always have a half an hour. No matter what else is going on, I can always clear a half an hour. Mm-hmm. I can't always clear 65 minutes. I really like my three primary workouts. Most of the time right now is Fat Burner in the mornings, and then at nights I alternate Diamond Cutter and Double Black Diamond. And that's probably my three primary workouts right now. But I love Fat Burner in the morning. I really, really do.
And,
yeah,
and we appreciate...
Go ahead, Mike.
Arthur, we appreciate you coming on tonight, and I know you're extremely busy and have a lot going on, and I appreciate you taking the time, and I hope you have a happy and safe holiday season. You know, keep kicking ass. You are doing amazing, and you are an inspiration to so many people, and you downplay your role in a lot of that stuff, but you really do. You give a lot of hope to a lot of people in the DDPO community, as well as the kids you teach in school. And I think it's so important for kids to have someone like you, who's been through the trenches himself and had some stuff go on in his life to overcome. And I appreciate you coming on, and you're welcome here anytime. I know you're busy, but you're always great to have on. We could talk to you all day, and we appreciate your time, Arthur.
Well, I'm glad I was able to help out.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to you, Arthur.
Well, thanks. You too.
Real quick, I just want to – I didn't get a chance to do it at the beginning of the show. I'm just going to run down super quick the upcoming dates for workshops. Of course, January 8th, 2016, and January 9th, 2016, New York City, Pure Yoga. And then right after that, we head over to Newport, Rhode Island for the DDP Yoga Inspiration Meets Perspiration 2 workshop. And then we've got February 6th. Life Med Institute hosts a DDP Yoga workshop, Timonium, Maryland. That's February 6th, 2016. And just added recently, Robert just hit me up and gave me the details, February 20th, Richmond Hill, Georgia, a DDP Yoga workshop. Also, JakeTheSnakeMovie.com, that's blowing up right now, all that kind of stuff. The DDP Yoga Performance Center, DDP Yoga app just released. You heard Dallas Page on last week talking all about the new app, so definitely head over to ddpyoga.com. So much going on, so much to talk about. It's almost overwhelming how much is going on right now, as Robert probably can attest to. But what a great show. It's always awesome to have Arthur on and have his perspective. And here's a guy who is pretty much the personification of longevity and how to stay focused and move forward and, stick around in this program and truly make long-lasting changes in their lives. Thank you, Stacey Morris and Robert McLaren, for your time, as usual. As always, get over to StacyMorris.com. Her new book, Sweet Comfort, is perfect for the holiday season as we're rolling into December and New Year's. StacyMorris.com, you definitely want to check that out. And Robert McLaren, he's got his hands full as well. So I thank you guys so much for hanging with us today.
Hey, bye. Always great to be here.
No problem, and definitely thank you, Arthur. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and until next time, GDP Radio is live every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time at GDPRadio.com. New episode goes up and available anytime on demand via iTunes. And have a great week. Until next time, never, ever, ever give up, and I will see you guys later.
Kicked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige. Oh! Into the diamond cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
This has been a presentation of DDP Yoga and Blog Talk Radio.